She projected a life of familial bliss and lavish luxury online, but when she disappeared on New Year's Day 2023, cracks in her happiness began to appear. Her husband had an alibi, or so he said, but he also had a history of screwing people over and a search history that included such gems as, "Can you be charged with murder without a body?" This is the story of Anna Walsh, the Serbian beauty whose husband seemingly didn't know how to delete his internet activity. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. When I first came across this case, I was like, it's the husband, because it's always the husband. But when I started to look into it further, I was surprised to find out that he's a lot shadier than I even would have expected. I don't want to be accused of falling victim to missing white woman syndrome, where we only care about white lady victims. But when I searched YouTube for a good summary of this case, I couldn't find one. So I partly wanted to make this for myself. Anna Walsh spent a lot of 2022 living away from her family. In March, she moved to Washington, D.C. for work, a move that wasn't wholly surprising to those who knew anything about the ambitious, driven Anna. She'd moved to the state of Virginia from Serbia in 2005 as Anna Nip and took a job cleaning hotel rooms. But it wouldn't be long before she was working on her master's degree in hospitality management from the Ivy League Cornell University. Anna went back to working at hotels when she graduated, but this time she was the one running things for chains like Intercontinental and Taj in Boston. Coworkers said she was a born leader, both electric and compassionate. They said that she was a hard worker, but also emotionally mature. She enjoyed luxury, but she also made her own success. And yes, she may have liked to show off a little bit on social media. In 2008, Anna was working at the Wheatley Hotel in the Berkshires, where she was involved with the chef. But when Brian Walsh strolled in one day, Anna said it was love at first sight. He was charming and handsome, half Iranian, and, you know, his generosity with a credit card probably didn't hurt things. According to his LinkedIn, Brian is the former chief financial officer for a consulting company and the co-founder of a company that does cybersecurity training. He grew up in boarding schools and fancy universities and bragged about how he once bought out every ounce of white truffle at a Boston restaurant one night. Anna said he struggled with the idea of letting someone in and accepting the love that he deserved, but she admired his kindness and his good heart. They dated long distance for years. Anna finally divorced her chef husband in 2014, and she and Brian married on December 21st, 2015. They eventually had three boys together. They led a lavish life that was hashtag blessed, and Anna was hashtag grateful for it. But in 2021, the FBI found, so to speak, a little gum on the bottom of her Gucci. It turns out that Brian, in an effort to keep up appearances, had knowingly sold two fake Andy Warhol paintings. He'd offered to sell them for a friend overseas, but once the friend sent them over, Brian stopped answering his calls. Then Brian offered the paintings for sale online, but actually sent the buyer two obvious fakes. Law enforcement didn't charge Anna, but her eBay account was the one used to list the paintings, and she certainly benefited from the fraud. After Brian screwed over the buyers, he took Anna shopping at Prada before paying off the credit card bills for all of their fancy trips and meals. Brian pleaded guilty to four counts, but when it came time for sentencing, it came out that he hadn't told investigators about some of Anna's assets. Maybe he hoped that she'd be able to hold on to her Fiat and Maserati, or that he wouldn't have to pay back his victims as much. And it turns out that this wasn't the only teeny tiny little lie Brian had told. In 2019, after Brian's dad died, Brian attempted to sell his dad's home. Only it turns out Brian had been stricken from the will after allegedly scamming his own father out of $1 million. His dad said in the will, and this is brutal, that he was leaving his only son my best wishes and nothing else. Still, Brian bragged in a diary about how easy it was for him to con other people, that people found him credible and just plain likable. His friends called him charitable, and he told the judge in the art fraud case that all he wanted was to stay out of prison to be of service to his community. Okay. While Brian waited on house arrest to find out if he was going to do time or not, his wife, Anna, 39 years old, took this new job as a regional manager with a big-time real estate investment company. It meant that she'd make more money, but it also had her spending the majority of her time in D.C., away from Brian and the kids. Brian's lawyer said Anna went alone only because Brian was dealing with these legal troubles, but either way, she got herself a cushy $1.3 million home there. Brian, meanwhile, moved into a house in Cohasset, Massachusetts, about 30 miles from Boston, that his mother rented for him and the boys. His mom would stay with him when Anna was out of town, but apparently wouldn't be there when Anna came home on the weekends to spend time with her family. Brian's mom said maybe it was cultural differences that kept them from getting along, but Brian was the only one to take care of her. Anna was home for New Year's Eve 2022, and the couple invited a friend over to the Cohasset house for dinner. Brian cooked dinner, everyone was all smiles, they talked about the future, everything seemed normal. The friend left at 1:30 a.m., early New Year's Day, and later texted Brian and Anna to thank them for the fun evening. Only Brian texted back. But that's normal, right? You text a couple and one of them handles the reply. No big deal. The thing is that Anna disappeared after that. According to Brian, she was supposed to take a rideshare service that day, Sunday, to the Boston airport and catch a plane to D.C. Police can't confirm if she ever caught her cab, but they know she definitely never boarded a plane. On January 4th, Wednesday, Anna's D.C. firm first reported her missing. Initial reports say that Brian contacted the police at the same time, but we now know that police logs say otherwise. Brian's attorney says that Brian contacted Anna's employer first, and then they called the police. Either way, isn't it strange to leave it up to her job when you're the one with all the information? Brian did at least have the good sense to call one of Anna's friends that day and leave a voicemail about how he was contacting everyone they knew to try to locate her. When police questioned Brian, he said a work emergency took Anna away from home on Sunday as early as 4 a.m., but he was asleep at the time and hasn't heard from her since. Friends found this strange because Anna never went a day without talking to her family, especially her boys, aged 2, 4, and 6. But Brian was cooperating with investigators and had an alibi. But by that weekend, the mood had shifted. None of Anna's credit cards had been active, and her cell had been shut off since her disappearance. It last pinged a tower near her house at 3:12 a.m. on January 2nd, according to one source, a day after she had supposedly left town. The Cohasset police were working with the Massachusetts State Police, and at this point, they were very concerned for Anna's well-being. Dogs searched the woods near the family's home, and officers pulled items from the family's pool, which appeared to have turned dark and murky in the off-season. Searches around the Massachusetts home and Anna's weekday home in D.C. turned up nothing. On January 8, 2023, the police affidavit was written up. In it, the investigator describes Brian's movements on January 1st, the day Anna went missing. Unfortunately, the bracelet Brian wears as part of his house arrest doesn't have GPS tracking. It only alerts his probation officer when he leaves the house, not specifically where he goes. But Brian says he woke up at 7 a.m. after Anna left and made breakfast for the three boys. When their babysitter arrived, he went to the grocery store to grab some necessities, brought them home, and then went to visit his mom. He got lost on the way because his cell phone was missing that day, so it took him longer than usual to get there. He ran errands for his mom and then came back home at 8 p.m. But when investigators later tried to retrace Brian's steps, they couldn't find him on surveillance footage from any of the places he claimed to visit for his mom. And then they also found that on January 2nd, the day after Anna disappeared, Brian had made a stop at the Home Depot wearing a surgical mask and gloves and made a $450 purchase of cleaning supplies in cash. He bought mops, brushes, different kinds of tape, tarps, a Tyvek suit with boot covers, buckets, goggles, baking soda, and a hatchet. He also later bought new rugs at Home Goods, men's clothing at TJ Maxx, and more cleaning supplies at Lowe's. 47-year-old Brian was locked up on January 8th for misleading investigators and was held on a $500,000 bond. Though the police ended their search of the area surrounding the Walsh home on the day before the arrest, they returned the next morning to search the house itself. That's when they found blood in the basement and a bloody knife. They took Brian's car and noted that although it appeared to have been recently cleaned, they were still able to recover traces of blood. They have surveillance video of Brian at a liquor store dumpster across the street from his mom's house. They have surveillance video of him lifting what appears to be a heavy trash bag into a dumpster. But no evidence was able to be recovered from the dumpsters later. However, at a local sanitation facility, investigators found trash bags with things like blood, a hatchet, a hacksaw, a rug, a Prada bag, hunter boots, and used cleaning supplies that they believe could be linked to the crime, especially because DNA from both Anna and Brian were found in the items. They also found Anna Walsh's COVID-19 vaccine card and a piece of a necklace that looks like one she wears in photos. Now, if all of this wasn't damning enough, investigators also recovered Brian's internet search history. It starts on December 27th when he searches, "What's the best state to divorce for a man?" And I love the thought that there might be more man-friendly states out there. But Brian must not have liked the answer he found, because then between January 1st and 3rd, Brian searches so many incriminating things that I can't even read them all. But here are a few choice ones for you. How long before a body starts to smell? 10 ways to dispose of a body if you really need to. Can you throw away body parts? Is it better to throw crime scene clothes away or wash them? And what is the rate of decomposition of a body found in a plastic bag compared to on a surface in the woods? I mean, there's no way to know exactly who made these Google searches because they were done on a son's iPad. But I'm not sure we can reasonably expect a 6-year-old to be thinking of soft tissue decomp rates on different substances. I think it might have been Brian.
Brian Walsh is back in court today, officially charged with murdering his missing wife, Anna.
You understand those charges, Mr. Walsh? I do.
The prosecutor detailed an astonishing list of incriminating Google searches allegedly made by Walsh on New Year's Day.
How long before a body starts to smell? How to stop a body from decomposing? 10 ways to dispose of a dead body if you really need to. How to clean blood from wooden floor? Hacksaw best tool to dismember. Can you identify a body with broken teeth?
And I just want to say that I know there have been rumors going around that he specifically searched for how to dispose of a 115-pound woman's body. And I just thought that that was just, you know, but I don't mean to be glib. It just seemed almost funny, despite the situation, to imagine that there might be different directions out there for disposing of a 115 and a 125-pound woman. But either way, I think this was once reported by CNN based on something law enforcement said, but it doesn't appear that this was an actual search that Brian made. Too bad. After weeks of not formally charging him, while everyone wondered why there was any question about it, Brian was finally charged with assault with intent to murder and disinterring Anna Walsh's body on January 17, 2023. Prosecutors assert that Brian stashed the body parts in the various dumpsters that he was caught on camera hoisting those trash bags into, and by the time authorities made it to the trash facilities, the body had already been burned. Brian pleaded not guilty and will appear before the court on February 9th. There's precedent in the state for prosecuting without a body dating back as far as 2002. The three children are being kept in state custody while the Department of Children and Families figures out the best place for them. They think they may want to place the children with someone with experience in traumatic situations. Anna Walsh was a member of a local organization for U.S. immigrants called Sky International Center, which is now raising money for the kids. Of course, I ask you to please do your own research before contributing to any fundraising effort. In the wake of the arrest, more information has come out about Brian's tussle with his estranged dad. When the esteemed neurologist died while on a trip to India, Brian asked one of his dad's close friends to stop by his dad's house and grab the will. When the friend noticed that Brian had all been written out of the will, he snapped some photos of the document before handing it over, just to be safe. This friend had been told by Brian's dad that when Brian spent some extended time in a psychiatric care facility in Massachusetts, that he'd been diagnosed as a sociopath.
Because domestic homicides happen and people try to conceal the crime, but dismemberment is the kind of thing that we're used to associating with organized crime.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what enables people in organized crime to have family lives and yet to be so inhuman in how they relate to corpses. It's their level of detachment and a lack of attachment. And his family relationships are important, that he shows the capacity to break away from his family to an extreme degree. And it shows that whatever his past, the quality of his attachment is very different from the quality of attachments that we may find. You want to call it psychopathic, you want to call it another name, but it takes an extreme level of detachment and self-absorption to be so determined to eliminate traces that you also eliminate your feelings of emotional connectedness to the very person that you were married to, had children with, and perhaps unexpectedly, unanticipatedly killed.
As the friend expected, Brian then allegedly destroyed the will and lied to family that a will had never been written. He then made himself an executor of the estate, selling off all of his dad's art and jewelry. not knowing, of course, that the photos of the will had ever been taken. It turns out that Brian had once stolen almost $1 million from his own father, forcing him to work past retirement age. And now you know why they were estranged. Apparently, when Brian and Anna got married, it was in front of a few dozen people, and not one member of Brian's family showed up. Before Anna's disappearance, all of her Instagram posts are meant to depict this perfect life where everything's a fairy tale, despite Brian's looming potential jail time. She lauded Brian as the cook of the family and said, "Our three sons are constantly hanging off Brian's neck, and they just can't get enough of him." She described Brian as having turned his life around since his crimes, saying that he deeply regretted them. But it turns out that before Brian and Anna were even engaged, he allegedly threatened to kill her and her friends over the phone. It seems like even though Anna reported this to the police, she didn't want to press charges and the case was eventually closed. In light of her disappearance, though, things like this have new meaning. People are taking a look at old social media posts of Anna's, like this one where she describes getting a mild concussion and hashtags it vulnerability. She told a friend it was a fall at work on the freshly buffed marble floors. But a former Boston police chief said, if in fact there was an altercation in the family home and a death resulted, clearly that initial threat has gone through the cycle of violence and culminated in the ultimate violence. Anna's mother did suspect that there were problems at home when her daughter contacted her on Christmas Day and asked her to fly from her home country of Serbia to the U.S. immediately. The trip sadly didn't work out, and Anna's mother missed her phone call on New Year's Eve. And now she may never hear her daughter's voice again. And while this next little mystery has been solved, I should mention that the weekend the Walsh home was being searched, a fire broke out in the attic of a home that had been in Anna's name until March of last year. The new buyers, their child, and their nanny were all able to make it out safely. It ended up being a problem with the fireplace, which, fun fact, is also how my childhood home's attic once caught on fire while my bedroom was in that attic. The fire at Anna's former property was deemed 100% accidental, but the police chief notes how strangely coincidental it is. I'll definitely be keeping an eye on this case as it continues to develop. I think there's a lot of information still to come, like just how much blood was in the family's basement if a body was dismembered with a hacksaw there. It feels like prosecutors have this one in the bag, but the question remains why Brian allegedly did it. When he searched for states that are favorable to men and divorces, did it seem too hard to move the family to Wyoming or Alaska or wherever? Or was it simply a matter of money? Records show that Anna had four properties to her name totaling $2.8 million in value. And we know that someone used the iPad in the house to search how long can someone be missing before inheritance. One of my favorite things I read about Brian was, it's unclear what, if any, legitimate work he did during their marriage. On his LinkedIn page, he lists himself as the CFOs of various organizations that don't appear to have websites. I guess at the end of the day, shady guys just gotta be shady. I hope for Anna's sake that her children at least end up in a loving home. But I'd love to know what you think about this case. How long did you suspect it was the husband? Was it absolutely the first minute Anna went missing, or even sooner? Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.